I want to preach tonight about the lame man, the healing of the lame man. And we'll take a look at some things. There's some correlation here between this lame man and some things that are going on today. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together tonight. It's good to be in church. It's good to be in the house of God. Lord, we thank you for the few people that came out tonight, and we do thank you, Lord, for those that are watching us tonight live on Facebook. We just pray that you would continue to bless. Lord, we again ask for you to help us during this time of crisis. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us and be with us. And Lord, we pray for your protection upon each and every one of us. We ask, Lord, for those that are sick with this terrible virus, that you would help and that you would heal. Lord, I pray that you'd give those that are seeking to try to gain some wisdom through this, our medical leaders, Lord, our president, our vice president, our governor, I pray that you would give them the wisdom that they need, Lord, to find this, to find some help through this time. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we know that no matter what happens, you are still on the throne. And we are grateful for that. We know that you are in control of everything. God, we know that you are always good, no matter what. And Lord Jesus Christ, you can save anybody, regardless. And so, Lord, we are grateful and thankful for your word. We thank you that we have a copy of this book in front of us. We just praise you and thank you for so many things. We ask for your guidance upon this message, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of the great stories in the book of Acts. Of course, we all know the day of Pentecost, what happened. This is really the first recorded miracle after Pentecost, and this is the first recorded miracle that Peter had done after Pentecost. And so this was a specific time. It was in the early evening, around 3 o'clock. You got to understand that there are different watches that we see there. And it says there in verse 1, Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Now, again, this being the time of the evening sacrifice, it was when the priest would go into the temple to offer the incense at the golden incense altar with prayers. And of course, the incense altar within the temple, or the Old Testament tabernacle, was a picture of prayer. That's where they would gather. That was the sign of that. And Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, that was his job. He would go in as a priest. He would go into the temple there in Luke chapter 1, and he would offer up the incense. And when he went in, of course, to do that, we know that the angel appeared to him and gave him a vision or gave him a sign and said that his wife, Elizabeth, was going to conceive and bear a son. And that son, of course, we know is John the Baptist. And so this is something that was very common. It was done every single day. And again, this was the time that they would pray. This is one of the times that they would pray. Obviously, we know according to Psalm 55 and verse 17, David said, evening and morning and at noon, it says, I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. I think we ought to pray at least three times, at least more times. The Bible now, you know, we move into the New Testament. The Bible says what? Pray without ceasing. So we need to be praying all the time, not just three times a day but that was a practice that they had. Daniel had the same practice in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 when it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. This was a practice that Daniel had. It was a practice that David had. It was a practice that Peter and John had. It was a practice that everybody had at those times, that they would pray at least three times a day, morning, at noon, and then in the evening later on in the day. So when we look at this particular time, this was something common. This was an everyday occurrence. And Peter and John are together here, and they're going into the temple. They're going at that hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, which according to the Bible is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Remember, the days were divided into 12s. You had the daytime 12 hours, and then you had the nighttime 12 hours. And so this being the ninth hour, starting at 6 in the morning and going throughout the day, this would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In verse 2, it says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried when they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. I have five things here that I'd like to share with you this evening about this lame man. The title of the message is simply The Healing of the Lame Man. The Healing of the Lame Man. The first thing we see is the man was lame. He was a lame man. He was lame from his mother's womb. He was lame from birth. I mean, he had to be carried to the temple. He could not walk at all, as far as we know. I don't know what was wrong with his feet. His ankle bones were weak. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get around at all. He had to literally be carried. Now, the Bible calls this man a man. So he was a grown man. We don't know how old he was, I don't believe. But he was a man. He was somewhere older. So probably been doing this for 20, 30 years. I'm not sure. But he was a lame man from his mother's womb. And he had to be carried everywhere he went. He was completely helpless on his own. He was totally dependent on other people to get him where he had to go. He had to be carried. He had to literally lift him up and carry him. In the Bible, we have several examples of that. There's a man that four men would carry into the temple, into an house. And the Bible says that they couldn't even get into the house because of the press, because of the people around them. So they climbed up on top of the roof. They removed the roof and they lowered the man down in front of Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus is teaching and going along and all of a sudden there's this man being lowered right down in front of him. And of course, we know the story. We know how Jesus healed that man. Many times we see that there was different things going on like that. But we see that this man was lame from his mother's womb. He had this condition throughout his entire life. They would bring him to the temple every day. I don't know who it was. It could have been family members. It could have been just friends. Could have been neighbors. Could have been strangers that would pick this man up and bring him to the temple every single day. He had to be carried there. And when they came there daily, he had to be brought there daily at the gate of the temple. And he went there every single day for one purpose and one purpose only. And that purpose was to beg. That purpose was to somehow get enough money, get enough things, get enough food possibly to carry him through to the next day. Until they would bring him again the next day, probably maybe around the same time, not sure. But every single day he had to be carried to the gate that was called Beautiful. What a contrast that we see there. We have the gate that is named Beautiful Gate, and we have a beggar being laid at that gate. Here's a beggar. Here's a man. I don't know what he looked like, but you can imagine what he looked like. Being a beggar, probably, you know, just raggedy clothes, whatever he could put on, was not able to tend to himself very well. And they had to carry them there, put him there, and that's where he was. But they would bring him to this gate every single day. And his job every day was to beg for something. He was a beggar. And so he would beg those entering into the temple. That was the only man that the only way that the man could survive. That was the only way that he could live. I got to say, I'm glad that we don't have to do that much today. I'm glad that we don't have to be taken down to the corner street in Seneca Falls and we all have to sit around and beg for our food the next day. I'm thankful that we are cared for fairly well in this country. There are a lot of countries. There are a lot of people in the same condition as this man that have to beg for their food every single day. They have to beg for enough food for their family every single day. They have to just in order to get by. There are people like that in the world today. We don't see that a whole lot here in America. I know there's places, there's pockets of it, and there's in different cities. We hear about that. But for the most part, we don't have that issue here in America. As I look out here with the small little crowd that we have here tonight, I don't know of any of you that have to go out and beg for anything at all. We're pretty well taken care of. The other thought that I had was, what if Peter and John walked right by this man and ignored him? How many times, let's be careful here, but how many times has the Holy Spirit told you to give somebody a track and you didn't do it? How many times did the Holy Spirit tell you to invite that person to church and you didn't do it? How many times has the Holy Spirit told you to witness directly to a person and you didn't do it? How many times have you walked by somebody and you didn't give them the gospel? What if Peter and John, as they were walking in, thought that prayer was more important than providing something for this man? See, they were going into the temple for the right reason. They were going into the temple to do what? Pray. To pray. That's spiritual. That's very, very important. But on the way into the temple, in order for them to pray, they obviously saw somebody in dire need and they stopped what they were doing. And they realized that this man had a need that possibly they could help with. But I often think about this. If they just walked by, Peter and John are talking, ignoring everybody around them. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone just talking to a friend, talking to your wife, talking to your spouse, talking to your kids, and there's other people around and you just kind of ignore them and you have no clue what's going on? What if they had done that? What if they had walked by this man and never even took care of him, never even questioned what his needs were? This man would have never, ever been healed. Now, this man was not only physically healed, he was spiritually healed. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But Peter and John, thank God, this man is thanking and praising God that Peter and John cared enough about his soul, cared enough about his life to actually do something for him and to try to help him. I often think about John chapter 9. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is John chapter 9, about the man that was born blind. Same condition, well, different condition, but same situation, where this man in John chapter 9, in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. This man in John 9 was born physically blind. He couldn't see physically anything at all. And of course, the disciples in verse 2 asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Jesus goes on and says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And I remember bringing a message on this not long ago, but in order for people to see, there has to be light entering into their eyes. And when somebody goes blind, they have something that is wrong with their eyes where there's no light getting in and reflecting, and however the eyeball works, going to the brain so they can see things. And yet Jesus was saying that he was the light of the world. This man was not born blind because of some sin that his parents had. This man over here in Acts chapter 3 was not born lame because of some sin that it's not recorded in Scripture that he did something wrong or his parents did something wrong to cause this lameness. Remember that every single one of us are born sinners. That is the condition of which we are born into. We're born sinners, every one of us. You all had an earthly father that parented you, and you literally came into this world as a sinner. You're not only a sinner by choice, you're a sinner by birth. Every one of us, every human being. Because we are born into sin, that's why we need to be born again. We need to be born again spiritually. Because of a physical problem that we have. Not only that, but a spiritual problem because we're born into sin. The man that was born blind and the man that was born lame both had this situation. And so we see that the man was lame. But here's the second thing that we see. Look at the next thing in verses 3 through 6. This is the look. We have the lame man, but now we have the look. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. What is this man doing? Now, this man wasn't blind, but he was lame. He couldn't walk. So what is he doing? He's got his eyes fastened on to Peter and John as they're walking into the temple. Amen. As they're approaching, maybe this beggar is watching and just seeing these guys. And, you know, I'm going to watch them and see what they're doing. I'm going to see how they're reacting. So he's literally seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he's asking alms. He's literally begging from them. He doesn't know their names, but he is begging somehow the way in which that he did. This man was an expert at this. He knew how to look at people. He knew how to see people. And so he sees Peter and John, and he's begging from them. He's asking alms from them. And here's what Peter does. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, what did he say? Look on us. Look on us. You know, there are two different looks taking place here. There's the look of anticipation from the beggar. What is that man looking for? He's looking for something. He's looking for something material. He's looking for money, probably. He's looking for maybe food. He's looking for something that can take care of his needs right then and there. So there's that look of anticipation from the beggar, from this man. He was looking for his physical needs to be taken care of. But then what is the other look coming from Peter and John? That is when Peter said, look on us, this, I believe, is the look of salvation. It was a different look. The beggar had one kind of a look, physical look, but Peter and John, they're thinking something completely different, especially Peter, because Peter is the one that responds. And so the look of salvation comes from Peter and John, and they were trying to take care of the man's spiritual need. Let me ask you a question. What's more important, the physical or the spiritual? We always know that the spiritual is always more important than the physical. I'm not saying the physical isn't important. The physical is important. Certainly. You know what we're seeing now during this coronavirus thing? It's physical. The whole thing is physical. And the problem that I see in this whole thing, and I'm thankful that our president and vice president and the coronavirus task force and the governor and the CDC and WHO and all of these groups, I'm thankful for what they're trying to do. But what they're trying to do is take care of the physical aspect of this horrible virus, which we need that. But a lot of people are missing out on the spiritual part. They're ignoring the spiritual by shutting churches down. And listen, I'm not against that. I have good pastor friends that have had to do that because, and what's coming even tonight at 8:00 in this state, they're telling us no unnecessary travel. Again, I'm thankful that the governor has not yet closed down churches. But he is highly recommending that people not go to church. And so we're trying to take care of the physical part by sometimes ignoring the spiritual part. People aren't getting fed spiritually. I'm thankful that we have some people that care. I'm thankful that we have people that are watching us tonight. We had several hundred people tuning in today, several hundred. I think well over 500 people was some way, shape, or form. I don't know how that all works. Either they clicked on it and watched it for a few minutes and then got, I don't know. But we had, 299, and then somebody else was sharing what they were doing, and they had 279, and it was just kind of being broadcast all over the place. Now we got to get all those people in the church. As Rich said, we got to get them in the church. We got to get them tithing and giving them missions. And so maybe after this thing is all over with, all of you out there watching, you need to come to church if you're not in church anyway. Now, if you're in a good church somewhere, stay in that church. But if you're not in a good church somewhere, you know where there is one. Again, we see the look. There was that look of anticipation, but then there was that look of salvation. Peter and John was more concerned about taking care of that man's spiritual needs rather than the physical. But what did? They took care of both. They took care of the physical need, but they also took care of the spiritual need also. When Peter said, look on us, Peter wanted that man to do something. Now, remember, the man can't walk. I visualize this. I'm sure that the man was sitting down somewhere, maybe on a step, maybe on the ground outside of the temple, right? Do you have that visual in your mind? Peter and John are walking up, and when Peter said, look on us, he's asking that man to look up. Because the beggar was sitting down, the only thing he could do was look up. I believe that Peter was asking that man, I want you to look on us, but I want you to look up. Because when you're going through a time in your life, we need to look up. We need to look to God. We need to look to heaven. We need to look to the Word of God. We need to look to spiritual things. So often we only look to the horizontal. We don't look to the vertical. We're more concerned with what's going on around us, and we're not thinking about what God can do for us and how God can take care of us. But Peter is saying, look on us. He wanted the man to look up. Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. Turn over there. Luke 21 and 28. Keep your spot there. We'll come right back to this. Luke chapter 21. Look at verse 28. Luke 21, 28. Luke 21, verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then what? Look up and lift up your heads. For your redemption draweth nigh. What is Jesus saying? Listen, when you see some of these things going on around you, you better be looking up. You better be looking up because your redemption is getting close. The second coming of Jesus Christ is getting closer by the day. It's getting closer by the moment. As every time the clock clicks by another second, we're getting closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We need to be looking up. Lifting up our heads, for our redemption is drawing nigh. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, we're doing a lot of looking at the things that we can see.
That's right.
And we need to look at those things that we cannot see. We need to look at the spiritual aspect of what is going on in this world. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians 3:20. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Where are you looking today? Are you just looking at the government? Are you just looking at the CDC? Are you just looking at the governor? Are you just looking at the things that are going on around us? Are you just looking at this virus? Or can you think about the things that are spiritual that we need to be concentrating on? Are we in our Bibles? Are we asking God to intervene in this particular situation? Can God help in this? Of course He can. I believe that God will help. I believe that God is helping. God is not gone, that He's not He's not helping. He is helping us. Back to our text. Peter gives the best prescription that everyone or anyone needs. Look what he says. Look at verse 6. This is the prescription that Peter gives to this ailing man, this lame man. He says, "Silver and gold have I none." I can't imagine what that man was thinking right about then. Man, that's all I need right now. That's what he thought he needed, was silver and gold. He needed some money so he could buy his next meal. I don't know if he may have had a family. He needed some money to pay for food for his family. I don't know. But when Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. I don't have any money to give you." I don't know what the poor man was thinking. He said, "But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And immediately, the Bible says immediately, we know that when, and I'll get to the next point here in a minute, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we know that immediately that man started to walk. He was able to walk. But Peter says it's not money that's going to get you up. It's not money that's going to take care of you. It's not material things that you need right now. What you really need is you need Jesus Christ. Amen. That's who this man, that's what and who that man needed. Across the page of my Bible, we have Acts chapter 4, verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Folks, during a crisis like we're going through, Jesus Christ is our answer. I know that everybody's excited, or some people are excited. We might get $1,000 a piece. We might get $1,200 a piece. We might get $500 per kid. We might get some money. The government might give us a direct deposit, give us a check or whatever. You know, people are thinking that along those lines. I might get some extra money. Listen, what we need to be thinking about is what the Lord can do in this situation. Hey, if we get a check, praise God. Right? I mean, praise the Lord. If we get a check, if we get something from the government, okay. But what we really need is we need help from Jesus Christ. That's where our real help comes from. This man was expecting something material, and Peter and John gives him much more. He got his feet and legs working, but he also got something far worth far more. He got his spiritual needs taken care of. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. Philippians 2:8. Philippians 2:8. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There's something about the name of Jesus Christ. And when Peter said to that man, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk," immediately that man's ankle bones, his feet, his legs gained strength, and he was able to walk. He was not only able to walk physically, he was able to walk spiritually. And so when we think about the amazing way that God can do the things that he does and how he heals, he doesn't just heal the physical, he also heals the spiritual. I think about those 10 lepers that Jesus healed. He healed every one of them physically. Only one came back and thanked him for healing them. And he received a spiritual healing. 1 out of 10 got a spiritual healing. Jesus still cared about the physical healing of those men. You look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Here's a situation with Paul. Very, very similar to Acts chapter 3 in Acts chapter 14. Paul is there. He's in a city in verse 1, and then he leaves that city. because of in verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. And we come down to verse 5, and when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with the rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were ware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel, and there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Now, this is not the same guy as Acts 3. This is a guy very similar to Acts chapter 3, but this is a gentleman that Paul is going to heal, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and he walked. He leaped and he walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, "In the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Of course, they were thinking that the gods, some kind of astrological god was in those men. Little did they know that it was Jesus Christ that was healing that same crippled, or that man that was crippled, very similar to Acts chapter 3. And so it's by Jesus Christ that man was healed. It was by Jesus Christ that the cripple was healed with the Apostle Paul. It's by Jesus Christ that any of us are healed spiritually. And thank God the Lord can heal physically also. I'm sure that we would have testimony tonight if we had the time to talk about different people that you've prayed for, that you've known, that you have literally witnessed, possibly yourself, of some kind of a healing that God did because you prayed for that person. Thank God for that. The third thing that we see back in our text in Acts chapter 3, look at verse 7. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." The third thing that I see about this gentleman is the lending hand. The lending hand. We have the lame man, we have the look, and now we have the lending hand. Go back to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. I wonder when Peter put out his right hand that he was thinking about a time in which Jesus Christ put out his hand and lifted Peter up out of the water. You remember the story. Jesus had just fed 5,000 men and women and children. And so there could have been 10 or 15 or 20,000 people. Jesus Christ goes off praying, tells the disciples where they had to go, get in a ship and go to the other side. Verse 22 of Matthew 14. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." So he told the disciples, "I want you guys to get into that ship. I'll be with you in a little while, but here's where I want you to go." And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Now, again, this is around 3 or so in the morning, because we've got the four watches. The first watch was from 6 to 9. Second watch was from 9 to 12. The third watch was from 12 to 3. The fourth watch was from 3 to 6. So somewhere around 3 in the morning or thereabouts, they're out there, and the winds and the sea was contrary in verse 24, and all of a sudden here comes Jesus walking on the water. I can't imagine what those disciples were thinking. They thought they were dreaming. They thought they were seeing things. I mean, 3 o'clock in the morning, they see somebody walking on the water coming towards them. Listen, you'd be frightened also. Don't sit there and judge those disciples. You would probably be a little upset or a little worried yourself. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea in verse 26, they were troubled. Probably you would be too. I probably would be also. Saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. We kind of need that right now, too. Amen. Hey, I'm here. You don't need to be afraid.
Right.
You don't need to worry. There's nothing to worry about with all of this stuff going on. Just put your trust and faith in me. And so he said that, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Peter, you want to come out? Come on. Hey, the water's fine. Come out for a walk. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's amazing. Peter is just moving right along. He's walking on the water. He's, you know, he's watching, he's looking at Jesus, and he can't imagine what he is doing. No other human being, as far as I know, has ever done that other than Peter. And so he's walking on the water, and all of a sudden, the wind is still boisterous around him, and he starts to be concerned, and I believe he started to get a little afraid, and he starts to look around him. He gets his eyes off Jesus, and you know what happened. He immediately starts to go down in the water. And Peter prays three words. Lord, save me. If you were sinking right about then, you would have done the same thing.
Amen.
And what did he do? Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And we know that Jesus reached down and pulled him up out of the water and put him back into the boat, and they were fine. Verse 32, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. But I'm wondering if back in Acts chapter 3, when Jesus is reaching down for that beggar, putting his right hand out, I'm wondering if he's thinking in his mind, this is what Jesus did for me. Jesus brought me up out of the water. Jesus saved me. He was able to help me when I was sinking. And so Peter gives him his right hand and grabs a hold of that man, and he starts to lift him up. And as he is lifting him up, this strength comes back into his ankle bones and in his feet and in his legs. And as he's lifting him up, he receives that strength, the Bible says there in verse 7 of Acts chapter 3. And immediately his feet and ankle bones receive strength. Took him by the right hand and lifted him up and is helping him there. Listen, that's what you and I do. Jesus saved Peter by reaching down and lifting him up out of those waters. When he reached down from heaven and saved your soul, that's what you and I do. We literally, we reciprocate that, what he did for us. We reach our hand out to somebody. We give somebody the gospel. We witness to them. We preach to them. We tell them about the Lord. We give them a gospel tract. That's what Peter was doing. He was using that same technique that Jesus used on him to try to help this man. That's what we do. We need to do the same thing. And so he was giving that man, lending that man a hand. Later in the ministry, look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. I didn't have time this afternoon to get into the study, but I'll tell you, there's a lot said in the Bible about the right hand. The right hand. Well over 150 verses that deals with the right hand. Only a few that deal with the left hand. But there's so much in the Bible that deals with the right hand. I got to do a study on that someday and get into that. But we see here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So they put out their right hand and gave them their right hand of fellowship, which that literally shows fellowship and favor. We're not doing that right now. We're not shaking hands right now. Amen. We're tapping elbows. We're waving. We're nodding. We're, you know, whatever. But we do that. We shake with our right hand. What are we doing when we shake hands? We see somebody. We were in Sauders the other day, and I saw a gentleman that works at the bus garage. He's a great guy. I see him in the summertime when I work for the county. And usually we always shake hands. And I said, we can't do that right now, right, Joe? And he's, oh yeah. And we laughed and we talked a little bit. But that's a natural thing for us to put out our hand and shake somebody's hand, right? I mean, it is so awkward right now not to shake somebody's hand. Out of habit, some people left this morning, a couple, three people, and immediately put their hand out, and I shook their hand. Oh, no. I shook their hand. But you know what? I'm not going to refuse somebody's hand. We have hand sanitizer right there, nice and close. It's right around the corner in the hallway. It's down the hall. We got hand sanitizer all over the place. We have soap in the bathrooms so we can go and wash our hands. And so, you know, you don't shake somebody's hand and then rub your eyes and stick your finger in your ears and, you know, suck on your thumb. You don't do things like that. But that is showing favor. Putting out your right hand shows favor and shows fellowship. And that's what those disciples, those apostles were doing. They were giving Paul and Barnabas their right hand, showing them the favor that they were giving to them. Listen, we want to give you, we want you to know that we are behind you. We want to show the favor that we have. You're going to take the gospel to the heathen. We're going to take it to the Jews. We're going to take it to the circumcision. And that's the way they did that. A lot of times we talk about giving the right hand of fellowship to somebody. And that's what they were doing. The fourth thing that we see, we'll go back to our text there in Acts chapter 3. The fourth thing that we see is the leaping man, verses 8 through 10. The leaping man. We see the lame man, the look, the lending hand, and the leaping man. In verse 8 it says, "And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Here's this man. He leaps. He jumps up. He is so excited. This man hasn't walked in what? 20 years? 30 years? I don't know how old this man was. He was a man. He had never walked during his entire, since his mother's womb. Something was wrong with his feet where he could never walk. Isn't it interesting that he immediately was walking? He didn't have to go through the learning process. I remember little Paulie and other little kids that, you know, they crawl all over the place and then they start to get up and they hang on a little something and then all of a sudden they tumble down and they get back up again and they're hanging on and then pretty soon they take one step and we're all excited. Now, what are they doing? Getting into everything. I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, once they know how to walk, they get in everything. You got to lock up everything. You got to put up everything. Dog food, cat food. They'll get in it and eat it if you let them. I mean, they'll do all kinds of stuff. But it's such a blessing to watch them walk. I know we see little Paulie walking around here, and he's got that funny little walk. And sometimes he does it on purpose just to make those funny little walks that he does. But but he had to learn that. This man didn't have to learn how to walk. Listen, when you get saved, you don't have to learn how to be saved to get saved. Boy, the moment the Lord saves your soul, you are saved forever. Now, you're in a growing process. You've got to start maturing as a Christian. You've got to start growing as a Christian. You've got to get in your Bible. You've got to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. But immediately, you are saved forever. Thank God we don't have to earn a little bit here and a little bit there. Thank God we don't have to get good enough to be saved. We don't have to get good enough to go to heaven. Thank God for that. Immediately this man was up. He was leaping. He was standing. He literally, we see as the passage goes on and even in the next chapter, this man is standing for Christ. He is standing for God. He is leaping. He's standing. He's walking. He enters the temple and praises God. What a blessing that is. When you get saved, you ought to enter the temple and praise God. When you get saved, you ought to enter the church and praise God. When you get saved, you ought, church attendance, when all of this passes, ought to be something important to everybody. Going into the temple and praising God. This is where we worship God and bring honor and glory to the Lord. Look at chapter 14 again, where Paul, Acts chapter 14, in verse 10. Acts 14 and verse 10. Acts chapter 14, verse 10. Again, this is Paul. This is that cripple during Paul's preaching. Verse 10, it says, "Said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked." Same situation from Acts 3. He leaped and he walked. He's leaping. He's going into the temple. He's praising God. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Never was this man ever ashamed. He was not worried about what others would say. He didn't, now that he could walk, didn't sneak out the back door somewhere, sneak out within the crowd like, oh, I don't want to be seen as a Christian. I don't want to be seen. I don't want the attention. He didn't, never did it. He was jumping and leaping and praising God. Well, if you'd been begging for 20, 30, 40 years, you might do the same thing. But as a Christian, we've been rescued from hell. And some of us can't open up our mouths and tell somebody about Christ. The leaping man. Look at Acts 4 and verse 10. The next day, all right, this didn't wear off. The next day, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, the following day, Acts 4:10, it says there, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Folks, this is the day after chapter 3. Where did he go? He didn't leave the temple. He was following Peter and John everywhere they went. He wanted to learn more. He was there in the temple. That he was standing before them whole. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Again, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so this man is the leaping man, and he's there still standing with them the very next day before the crowds. Boy, when we get saved, we should never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And then the fifth thing that we see is the learning that this man gained. Look at verse 11 of Acts 3, the learning. "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John." That does not mean that he grabbed them by their legs and was, you know, being dragged around by them. That's not what that word means. "Held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." That little term, "held Peter and John," the word "held" means that he adhered to them. He stayed with them. He joined up with them. He was desirous of remaining with them. He was participating with them. I believe that this man, with all of his might, he wanted to learn everything he could that Peter and John knew. Something just dramatically happened to this man. He went from being lame from that morning. They had to carry him down to the temple. They had to lay him there. He starts begging. He looks at Peter and John. And all of a sudden, his life is completely changed forever. Forever. And all of a sudden, he wants to stay with them. So many people that Jesus healed. The maniac of Gadara. Jesus said, you need to go back and tell your friends. You need to go back to where you came from. You need to go back there and tell them how great things happened to you. What wonderful things took place. That man wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. This man, I believe, now was in a learning curve. He wanted to go with them. We see him the next day, still at the temple. Still with Peter and John, still wanting to learn. He was trying to desire the sincere milk of the word that he could grow thereby. He was a newborn babe. And he wanted to learn everything he could. What a story that we see here. What an example that he was to so many today. He was lame from his birth. He was simply carried from his mother's womb down to the temple to beg every day. Peter and John come along and they give the look to him, and he gives the look back, and they fasten their eyes upon him, and they say, "Look on us, look up. There's hope when you look up." And he looks up. He gives heed to what they were doing and what they were saying. And Peter responds by saying, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then we have that lending hand where Peter reaches down and just lifts him up by that lending hand and gives him the ability to, to get up and walk and leap. He's walking, he's leaping, he's bouncing around, he's so excited, he's happy, he's praising God. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. He didn't care what he was saying, praising God and just shouting out the Lord's blessings. And now he's just holding on to what Peter and John was saying, holding on to the words coming out of their mouth, holding on to what Jesus would want him to learn. I would hope and pray that you as a Christian would want to do the same thing. Did you know that you can learn until the day you die? Did you know that you can learn until Jesus Christ comes back? You never can learn too much. You can never get too much Bible. You can never study too much. I study too much. I read too much. I've got all this knowledge up here. I just have too much knowledge up here about the Bible. No, you'll never have too much knowledge. We need to take that knowledge, though, and put it down in here and practice what we know. And so we see the learning. We see the leaping man. We see that lending hand. We see the look that this man got. This man was lame. What a tremendous story. What a picture of us prior to salvation, after salvation, and beyond. I hope you're saved tonight. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I hope you're growing and learning. Even during this time of crisis, folks, we need to trust the Lord. We need to trust God in everything that we do and say. There's no reason to worry about anything. Why worry when you can pray? Why panic when you can pray? We need to be at peace during this time. The Lord's going to take care of us. The Lord's going to watch out for us. He's not going to let you starve. He's not going to let you down. He's there for us. He loves us tremendously. He cares about us tremendously. He's looking out, I believe, after this church. It doesn't mean that there's going to be more trying times in the future. Nowhere in the Bible has God promised you a rose garden. Nowhere in the Bible did God promise you that you're going to have it at ease. He didn't say, hey, you get saved, I'll give you a big overstuffed chair and a remote and you can just go and relax somewhere. Nowhere do you find it in the Bible. I don't find anybody in the Bible, any of the greats in the Bible, ever having it easy. As a Christian or as a follower of God, as a believer in God, they didn't have it easy. Many of them lost their lives. Many of them lost their lives because of the cause of Christ. Many of them lost their lives because of the cross. We may be in for some persecution. But we may be in this for a while. We better be ready. We better be prayed up. We better be trying to use this as, how can I witness? How can I be a blessing to somebody? Instead of moping and groaning and complaining and having a sour look on your face because of what you're going through, why don't we have some hope for the world? Father, again, thank you for the message. Thank you, Lord, for this lame man that we read about there in Acts 3. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for this. And we pray that, thank you, Lord, that you, when you save completely. And Lord, we are grateful for that. Lord, we pray.